Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 24. Who's got their Bible with them? Only a few hands. Show me your Bibles. Let's see it. There we go. The scriptures will be on the screen behind me as well. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 24. So just to give you some context, God has just created the heavens and the earth in 1 week. What a productive work week in the office. God has just created Adam. He created man from dirt. He created a garden and he placed man into it to take care of it. And in verse 18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him.'" And this word helper is the same word used to describe God himself as Israel's helper. Talk about big shoes to fill. "Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, 'This at last is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" That's better than any Hallmark movie that I've ever seen. Today, I'm going to speak to you on the subject, trusting God. Trusting God. And I've titled this sermon, "Will You Trust Him?" Will you trust him? Have you noticed that in our society today, we seem to have a lot of trust issues? We don't trust the banks because they always take our money and they keep charging dead people. Which bank would do something like that? We don't trust the government. They've been locking us down and they're taking away our rights. We especially do not trust anyone on Facebook Marketplace. There is none righteous there, not even one. Or maybe you don't trust the church or its leaders. And sadly, we can often treat and view God in the same way. We can bring him down to our level and make him one like us. And that's even as Christians. But God is not like us whatsoever. He's what is called holy, which means set apart. He's so different to us. His character and his nature is so different to us. He is perfect in every way. He is love. He is kind. He is good. And he's perfectly trustworthy. And because his character does not change, it's not subject to variation, we must continue to renew our minds to the truth of God, who God is, constantly. And that can only come through and by his word. The word of God is our foundation here at Pneuma Church. And it is the foundation in which we build our entire life on, our entire belief system on. And it shows us who God actually is. So, let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone.'" How true is that? "I will make a helper fit for him." Come on. In just this one scripture, we get a glimpse into the very heart, into the very mind and very nature of God. Can we see how God wants to give Adam, make Adam, create Adam a helper who is fit for him? Someone to love, someone to hold, someone to cherish for the rest of his life. Someone to enjoy the gift of relationship, to enjoy the gift of intimacy, to enjoy the gift of family with. Can you see how God is not some distant creator who's so aloof and so far away from what he has created? He's so up close and he's so personal as a loving father who sees and cares and knows the needs of his very own son. And what good parent isn't the same? In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we all know it. The Lord says, "For I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope." Not to harm you whatsoever. To give you a hope and a future. But how often and how quickly do we question the heart of God? Question his motives when we're in the midst of our storm? Have you ever said to God, "Lord, where are you? Do you even see and know me? See what I'm going through? Do you even care?" We've all been in that place. But the truth is, God's heart is always positioned towards us. It's always positioned towards you. We can trust his heart completely. And in this scripture we see, in the scriptures we see that Adam had no idea what he needed or what he wanted for his life. What child does? Jesus, when he was on the mount giving his first sermon, came to reveal the Father, came to reveal the kingdom. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, Jesus says, "Your Father already knows what you need before you ask him." And this is why God is called all-knowing. omniscient. It's who he is. He knows everything all the time. And his thoughts and his perspective is so much greater and so much higher than any of ours. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways greater than your ways. My thoughts greater than your thoughts." And so here we see God, our Father, who already knows and always knows what you and I need. He always has our best interests at heart. And so whenever God reveals his heart to us, he reveals his and he reveals his thoughts to us. He always has a plan. He always has a process to get his will and intentions done. And so we cannot, as humans, as his children, escape his process. And often this process is contradictory and very different to whatever we would think of and often want for ourselves. It's funny how God says in verse 18 that I will make a helper fit for him, fit for Adam. Who knows, God could have made Eve straight away at the same time when he created Adam. But that's not what he does. Let's see what actually happens. Let's go to verse 19. So God brought the animals to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock, and to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. Here we learn and we see a few things about God's process. Firstly, we get to see that it's in the process where Adam learns to walk, to work, and to partner with God. God entrusted Adam with responsibility to look and tend after the garden. And he also entrusted Adam the responsibility to actually name every animal, every beast, every bird in the air. What a great responsibility. And it's here where Adam learns to obey the instructions and the voice of God, and also to steward faithfully what is entrusted to him. And that's the same for us. We are called to live a life of obedience and to steward everything God has entrusted to us. The second thing that we learn about the process of God is that the process actually exposes us to alternatives. It exposed Adam to some inferior alternatives. So God called all the animals to Adam to name them. And who knows, he would have got to see all the animals. And we can make the assumption that he would have seen them two by two in their pairings, male and female, he created them. He would have seen the union of what God had created, he would have noticed a bit of a lack in his life. And who knows that he could have settled for an inferior alternative by just being friends with the animals on earth for the rest of his days. How often, when we're in the process where we've been given a word from God to hold on and to believe in, where we're exposed to alternatives which we go after and choose and settle with, not waiting for God's best. Don't settle for anything less than God's best. And we see that the process often reveals the lack within and around us. In verse 20, it says, "But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him." The process is actually meant to get us to the end of ourselves, where there is no alternative, where we too have to say, "There is no helper, there's no help for me here. Oh, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come from?" My help comes from the Lord, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And so here we see a problem, an issue, that no one on earth and nothing on earth could ever fix or solve. There's no government. There's no technology, not even AI. There is no United Nations. There's no think tank. There's no resource on earth that could solve this problem for Adam. Can you see that? And so it is at this point of limitation in our weakness when we get to the end of ourselves, where we only truly recognize our need and utter dependence on God. So do you have a problem in your life today? Something that seems impossible to man? There's no resource that can solve it. The good news is there's no problem, there's no issue that is too great for God. There's nothing on heaven or earth, nothing that he cannot solve. But it's at this point where we need God's power to intervene. We need God's power to intervene. So let's see what God does to fix this problem. Let's go to verses 21 and 22. Verses 21 and 22. "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Here we see the very presence and very power of God coming down to earth and touching man. God did not do this from a distance. He did it up close, so personally. This is the intersection of heaven and earth, the spiritual and the natural. God was willing to come down and do something about it. And these two verses show us a few things about the power of God that we need to know. Firstly, for the power of God to move and to flow, we must offer ourselves up freely and fully to God. God does not violate our free will. He does not violate your free will. And so Adam participated in this process. Adam had to trust God and trust his power, trust his touch. By giving up all control of his mortal body and yielding himself to God. And so it is the same for us today. Do you ever struggle to give up control to God? When God is moving, do you step back and don't step in to allow God to touch you? We also see that we must be willing to give up something for God to take and use, even if it's as ordinary as a rib. Adam gave up something in the physical and gained a wife. Adam's physical body was changed forever. It was marked by God. One touch of God can mark you and I. But what are we holding on to within ourselves? Not just the physical, but the emotional, the spiritual. The things that we are withholding from God. He will take anything. Like just an ordinary rib and turn it into a wife. Come on. And when God's power touches us, we see that there may be a physical response. We see that God put Adam in a deep, deep sleep. Talk about being slain in the spirit. And most likely as a man, Adam was snoring pre-fall too. And so we learn that God does his best work when we are asleep. When we offer ourselves freely to him, give him full access, we see God, to Adam's perspective, working behind the scenes. In the unknown realm, he did not see what God was doing within him and around him. And then we see that the power of God does what is impossible to man. God created Eve from a rib. Talk about a miracle. That is not possible. That is not possible with the technology we have today. No resource on earth can do that. No one on earth can do that. And so we see the power of God, we see miracles, we see signs, we see wonders, all point to the glory and wonder of who he is. And so God does not need your help. He just wants our submission and yielding to him. And finally, will you trust his timing? Let's go to verses 22 and 24. God brought her to the man, talking of Eve. And then the man said, "This at last." Everyone say, "At last." "Is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man." At last, we see God's plan, his heart, his thoughts, his process finally happen. Finally happen. The wait for God to move is so worth it. Can you see how Adam, if he settled for anything less up until the appointed time, the Kairos time in which God moved for him in his life, he would have missed out on the miracle, the gift that Eve was to him. He would have settled for so much less. God will fulfill everything he says, everything that is in his heart in your life. But will you trust him? And so we see a perfect father who is perfectly trustworthy. He's perfect in his heart and his thoughts and intentions towards you. He's perfect in the process, even though we don't like it. His power is perfect and can do what is impossible to you and I. And his timing is like no other. And so here we see a God, a Father, who is so personal, who actually did everything for Adam. What did Adam do in this process? What did he do? Did he come up with these thoughts? Did he set his own plans and own time frames on what needed to be done? He didn't even know he had this problem. But God, our Father, sees and knows every one of our problems. All we have to do, like Adam, is just trust God and submit and yield ourselves freely in the day of his power. And so as we come to a close, where do you struggle to trust God in? Where do you struggle to trust God in? I'd like to invite the worship team up. God already knows what's going on in our lives, in your life. Are you struggling to trust his heart? Are you in a place where you're questioning his motives towards you? Or maybe you are in the midst of the process of God and you hate where you're at. You cannot see what's to come. You cannot see the miracle that's coming towards you. Do you doubt that God can move in power to resolve? Or are you waiting and waiting and waiting to see the miracle of God come to pass? We all have trust issues with God in our heart. And because he already knows everything, he knows where you and I struggle. Can we just be upstanding? Let's close our eyes. Let's fix our eyes on our Heavenly Father. Father, I thank you that you see us and you know us and you care so deeply for us, more than we know ourselves, God. Father, where we do not trust you fully, help us in our weakness. Lord, renew our minds to the truth of who you actually are. Lord, help us to trust you in the midst of our circumstances, in our trials. Lord, we submit our hearts to you afresh. Lord, we freely give up and we yield and submit ourselves to you afresh. Lord, you are so trustworthy. We can trust you with our weakness. Father, we thank you for your presence here. Lord, we thank you that you're already speaking and ministering to hearts.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.